Welcome. You have joined us for another episode of Greetings, Adventurers Leviathan.
Hi, I'm Nika Howard. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm playing FaZe.
Hey, I'm Mike Bachman, and my pronouns are he, him. I play Peckwing Blackfeather.
Hi, my name is Fred Greenleaf, and my pronouns are he, him, and I am your game master.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Cheek, and my pronouns are she, her. I'm playing Briar.
Hey, everybody. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm Tim Lanning, and my pronouns are he, him, and I play Time That Erodes Young Love.
I'm Michael DeMauro, and my pronouns are he, him, and I'm playing Daggy Chuggas.
Previously on Greetings Adventurers Leviathan. So 5 days ago, news of a Deep Home mining regiment came across an incredible find. In the mountains of Razorback, deep underground, they came across an opening that belies an underground city. Due to this and the recent excavation group who have gone missing, a group of experts were called to explore and reveal anything they could.
My character is a dwarf.
They have little kind of mousy ears. Their hair is like grays and browns and such. They're just a little guy.
Slinking his way out is a completely robed person. His details are hidden by a plain white mask.
You see, tiefly, they have some horns that are coming forward. The face paintings just probably change based on the day. So some days it's blood, some days it's coal.
Perched in the corner on the fifth slab is an Arakocra whose eyes have been open this entire time, but also snoring.
I did not come here to make you fucking tea.
So the five of you are led by Gorman and Shaw.
Everyone, he made me be here. He's making me go down into the earth. I'm being mistreated.
The atrium looks nice, like a good place to stretch me wings.
All right.
I mean, might as well go check it out, right?
So this we're in it, right? So we're like in...
Yeah, you came from a cavern, and it looks like they broke through a hallway into a city.
What a mystery.
I would go into the room, but stand next to the door.
There is something very peculiar about this book. You are drawn to it.
I pick it up.
Briar, as you open the book, you realize that this is your diary. But yet, you don't have a diary. As you read the passages, it's very odd because it talks about a twin that you never had. When you were born as a conjoined twin. This twin was actually a part of you, attached to your side. You were blessed by the visiting of a clerical group who were able to come and actually separate you from your twin through divine magical means. And as your head starts to reel, you sit down on the bed while you're reading this passageway, and you immediately fall through the bed. Blankets and sheets and pillows and all. And as you're hurtling farther down, the darkness covering you, you can see up to the pinpoint of light of the room that you just came from that's getting smaller and smaller. And at the last moment before you black out, you see somebody hanging from a sheet upside down as their leg is wrapped. And that person is you. And then you black out. For all of you in the room and even in the hallway, you watch as Briar, holding a journal, look slightly distressed, and she falls backwards to sit down on a bed. Blankets, pillows, and Briar herself all disappear into what seemingly must be a pit trap. Vendrian, Time That Erodes Young Love's familiar, darts into the pit to find an unconscious Briar hanging upside down with her foot wrapped into the bed sheets, which saved her life.
Am I out right now?
At this moment, you are knocked unconscious.
Okay.
It seems that as you fell, luckily the sheets of the bed wrapped around your leg, but your body collided against the side of the pit and your head smacked against the stone wall and you are knocked unconscious.
I have like little birds flying around my head right now.
No, you have a silver pseudo-dragon.
I have a yes. Little silver pseudo-dragon circling around my head because I got bonked and my eyes are X's.
What is the hole made out of?
Describe the hole.
So the gaping hole that's currently in the middle of the room is made out of a wooden frame. Underneath it, of course, is a standard stone floor. But when looking upon the inside of this bed frame, you can see that it is a large just aperture of stone. It is just a stone wall that goes down into darkness.
Damn. I cast Mage Hand. to kind of help steady Briar. Obviously, it's just 15 pounds, so it's not going to do a whole lot. And Vendrian's going to also
little,
help.
I'm little, though.
I mean, Are you 14 pounds?
What,
are you 14
no,
pounds?
No, but it'll help more than it would on most
gotcha,
people.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
Because I'm only, I'm little.
And Vendrian's not quite strong, but with his little wings, he will, and mouth will make sure.
Just enough to keep me, like pressure on my ankle or whatever, like to help cover.
Yeah.
Or help pick me up a little bit.
And then from the room, I open my eyes and say, Briar fell down that hole and she's hanging on for dear life. One of you should grab her.
Briar's mostly they pronouns, just FYI.
Mm, thank you.
Yes.
Fred, would you allow a mold earth or a entangle to work as a thing that would,
ooh,
like, either dirt come out of the wall? This is stretching a little bit, but like, you know, dirt coming out of the wall to lift them up, or you know, some sort of vegetation to like pop out and help lift them up, or at least stop them from falling?
Yeah, absolutely. Is this like a first level, or is it like a cantrip?
So Mold Earth is a cantrip, and Entangle is a level one spell.
Yeah, I would say that either one would work. If you want to kind of roll some kind of, I guess you would roll nature as a druid instead of like arcane to see the success level of either the cantrip or your first level spell.
It's going to be cooler if I do the first level once and I do the first level.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Because who doesn't mind blowing a spell slot? That is a 14.
So at first you don't see anything happen, but as you continue to channel your nature power, you can finally sense what are roots and some types of plant life that are still living within the earth and ground. And it starts to move with your direction towards this pit. And in between the slivers of space where these stone blocks are put together, these roots start to kind of burst out and grapple Briar.
Can they be mushrooms?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm lifted up on the caps?
Ew.
Of the mushrooms? That sounds like a very nice little soft bed to lay
on. No, mushrooms yes. are gross.
A little rat guy, he would love to sleep on top of a mushroom.
And as the mushrooms just multiply and start sprouting out, it the stalks push up Briar on a toadstool bed, and she is lifted up and out, still unconscious, but now no longer in threat of danger.
There you go, little buddy.
Nice job.
Am I still conked, or am I starting to come to a little bit?
Yeah, you should be able to start come waking up at this point.
Ugh. Briar, like, looks around to see it. I'm assuming everyone is, like, staring at them right now, like...
What happened?
That bed was... Turns out it was a hole, actually, so I guess be careful around here, you guys. Briar kind of, like, flops off the mushroom and acts like, kind of does, like, pull their hair back, like, oh, I meant to do that, and then just, like, kind of, like, scurries away to the other side of the room to, like, walk it off. Like, I'm fine. You don't have to stare at me.
You looked quite passed out down there, though. It wasn't just the... Did you fall asleep? Did you not rest enough? You need a rest to carry my things.
Wow. You know what? You're right. I'm gonna go take a nap right now, actually.
No, we're busy.
Because, well, I need to rest to carry your things, and...
You just took a nap. I saw you down there through Vengeon.
That's called being passed out.
You passed out? You...
Yeah, I have head trauma.
You...
And Briar, like, points to... I got an egg. What do you call it? A goose egg. A goose egg on my head.
I, like, push you behind me. You, FaZe, can you look at her noggin? Or their noggin?
Oh. Yep, it's there.
I mean, but did you see this big lump, though, right? Is that fine?
I mean, it's pretty cool. Honestly, that looks like a really good story.
Do you want, would you like Bennett to take a look? He's a doctor.
No.
But sorry, that guy's a doctor?
He's a tiny doctor.
I mean, I'm a tiny guy, so okay.
Bennett will climb up, puts on a little tiny lab coat, One of those little tiny like mirror things that doctors put on their head.
Yes,
like,
why do they have that? I don't know why.
For light, because they didn't have
no one knows. Bennett doesn't know either.
No one knows.
And Bennett's just gonna kind of like maybe rub like a little ointment or something on there. It doesn't feel any better to you.
I feel exactly the same.
It looks a whole lot worse. Very bad.
Hair falls out of the spot.
Now, Fred, this is just one DM to another. This is Bachman entering into a dangerous area. He's just created a thing that doesn't exist in any way and given it life. And now he's given it a profession.
And like I told you when we first started, tell him no. Feel free to not listen to him at all.
The trick is to give them give it no real power until you need it. And then you can sneak it by.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now that Briar's head has an ointment on it, they kind of like seem to gather themselves a little bit more. And they say, okay, so it wasn't just that I fell down a hole. There was this weird book here and there was a hole. It was talking about my life.
It was talking about your life?
Impossible.
No, I promise. It was. I mean...
Were you reading your diary?
No, the book was...
That's
already...
obviously what must have happened.
Do I look like the kind of person that would normally have a diary?
Yes.
I think it's honestly a very healthy thing to have a diary.
I mean, anyone can have a diary.
Everyone could benefit from it, yeah.
Well...
Journaling can be a very therapeutic thing.
Okay, well...
Even captains keep a log.
Everyone loves journaling in this group. I mean, listen, if it works for you, fine. I'm just saying that I never wrote one, but whatever was in this, whoever wrote this book knew things about me that I didn't know. Hmm. I promise.
Where is it? Maybe it was some sort of cursed object that just put your memories on it.
Do you have any secret admirers? Do you have any people who watch you late at night?
They don't.
Pick up your hair clippings?
I mean...
Do you have socks that ever go missing?
I mean, shit, yeah. Actually, yes.
I think you've got a... little lover on your hands.
Wow. Well, I have a lot to think about now, because now I'm looking back at my life and things look a little different, but...
Was helpful? What that advice was helpful for you?
I just think I put a lot of things into context once it was said out loud.
Okay, regardless. You don't have the book.
No, it must have dropped.
Vendrian,
I went down a hole and I whacked my head.
I sinned.
I'm fine, by the way.
I sinned.
Vendrian down the hole. He hisses at Bennett. He hates Bennett. And goes down the hole.
Oh, Bennett could ride him like a...
No, he cannot, Michael. No, he cannot, Michael.
A dragon knight.
No, no.
Daggy starts fashioning a small saddle.
No, he cannot. No.
Bennett takes a swipe. He tries to grab some fur, but comes up empty.
What's Bennett's AC?
Bennett doesn't... The source material for Bennett hasn't been written yet.
Bennett has a 100 AC.
What's the opposite of plot armor, but it's just as powerful.
What is your connection with your pseudo-dragon? Are you able to see through its eyes?
Yeah, I can see through it.
Okay. So as Vendrian flies through the pit hole and goes deeper and deeper, it experiences a very distracting sensation where it believes that it is continuing to keep going and it cannot meet a bottom. And time starts to feel this sense of disorientation or dread or confusion as Vendrian is experiencing.
Okay, I bring him back very quickly. Good thing you didn't fall, Briar. That was...
So none of you are worried that this room has a bed that is a pit trap. Mm-mm. Isn't this kind of weird?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely weird. I mean, I personally would like to go around and check some more stuff because I don't want to fall down a hole again.
Fred, is there any writing in this room?
Earlier I had mentioned a tapestry that was on the wall as Daggy was looking around.
Yes.
At this point, most of you take notice of this incredibly large tapestry, easily 10 by 10 feet, intricately woven. And on the tapestry, hanging on the wall, is a very interesting scene. What look like praying humans or humanoids on a tall cliff's edge. There are multiple people that are praying. And then towards the end of the cliff's edge is broken away cliff as people are tumbling into what looks like an incredibly large maw at the bottom.
That's not good.
Oh my God.
Is it like a snarl-like pit, like teeth all around, or is it just like a normal man's mouth with like lips?
It's Bennett.
It's like a worm's mouth, like from Dune.
Into a large mouth at the bottom.
Okay. Oh, no.
Looks like maybe some kind of...
I mean, a normal sized mouth would be an incredibly large Bennett's mouth, to be fair.
It's like a Sarlacc pit. I mean, there's like teeth on the end of it. It's circular, but obviously 2D, right? So it's only like the side view.
Right.
But there is writing on the bottom of the tapestry in what looks like some kind of infernal language. Does anybody speak infernal?
Oh, shit.
I do.
I can read that.
What if you're like, it looks like infernal. Does anybody read it? Yeah, you read it. It's not infernal. It just looks like it.
Okay, so when you guys read this note, it basically says, the embodiment of chaos, the eater of the condemned afterlife.
Oh, boy.
Briar, you are almost condemned. You almost got eaten.
Shit.
There's still time.
I bet there's a mouth down there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I didn't freaking find it.
I take out the little cracker that I stole from Briar and...
You stole a cracker from me?
Yeah.
Wow!
And I throw it down the hole and I peer down.
The cracker floats, like almost flying around in a very slow pace, but it eventually gets engulfed by the darkness. You wait to maybe hear it fall on the floor, but yet no sound comes.
Weird. That's very scary.
Fred, is there anything still sort of valuable looking just laying around?
Other than the original set of the quill and ink, and then the silver wash basin, kind of like a handheld face washing basin that has some kind of religious iconography on it, there isn't much more left in this room.
Okay, is there anything that is... would make a loud sound if I threw it down a hole?
The silver wash basin, probably.
Daggy's still going for the silver wash basin.
Daggy's like pretty, like he's a dwarf, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a pretty big basin in his arms.
Yeah, he chucks it down the hole and then someone stops him.
Mm-mm. No, that's a good
idea. Absolutely not.
I like it. Good thinking.
As you chuck it down the hole, it makes several large metallic ringing noises as it reflects off of the walls as it goes down deeper into this hole. You hear it kind of trail off as it continues to collide against a wall or two, but yet there is no resounding sound of it maybe reaching a floor, you know, several clanking noises.
Right, I don't think there's a bottom.
Wait, what if we just tied someone to a rope and lowered him down?
I sent my familiar down and it was an incredibly odd sensation, so I brought them back.
But who can really tell without experiencing it?
I can do that. I can do that thing you just said. And I did do it.
Maybe if he had a rider.
We could throw Bennett down. He doesn't have wings.
You know, it was a good idea to send Vendrian down there. I thought he was very pet smart.
Oh, here we go.
That one was bad. I'm gonna rate all of them. You ended last episode with a really good one. You started pretty bad, and you got really good in towards the end.
He's checking it off his list.
Yeah. The Five Below one was funny.
That was very funny.
But the problem is that's the only good one.
I thought you had another good one that we didn't get for a second, maybe. I don't know.
So, sorry. So this is Jennifer talking. There's the bed hole. Is there any other, like, remind me again of the general situation of the room. Is there like another hallway or something? Or is it just the hole that we need to investigate?
There's an atrium, right?
Well, yes. So the bedroom itself has no other exit other than, of course, the pit hole in the bed frame. But when you exit out of the bedroom, there is the atrium, another hallway, and then another bedroom close to the other hallway. So there are three other points of interest. As you await the sound of the basin, Shaw from the hallway goes, everybody, I think we have a problem here.
Yes, the basin won't drop.
No, not the basin. The basin did drop. It just didn't make any noise at the bottom.
I didn't hear it.
Well, I made several noises.
I mean, if you didn't hear it, though, did it really drop like all?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Cleric. There is, you're going to have to see this. And he's pointing behind himself in the hallway outside of the bedroom that you just went in.
Okay.
As the lot of you enter back into the hallway, the entranceway from the cavern where the Scottsdale Mining Regiment and yourselves came from is no longer there. It is just a complete hallway.
Fred, you fucking piece of shit.
Everybody, roll stress.
Oh, farts.
So we roll a d20?
Yep. And add your stress bonus.
Oh, cool. -1.
So I lost the stress last time. What does that mean for my rolling? Because I was at a 10 and now I'm at a 9.
That means you're at a -1 now.
Ugh. Okay.
Sorry, what is the bonus?
Yeah.
It is, let's see, for Daggy, your stress score is 12, so it's a +1.
It's 13.
Okay, so it's a +1.
What's the math on that? How do you figure that out?
It's the same as any other ability score.
Okay, but you assume that I know how to play D&D.
That's fair. Yeah, so your score is 16, which means it's a +3.
All right, hell yeah.
Every 2 above 10, you get a +1.
I got a 6. Is that good?
I got a 3.
I got a 21.
Oh my God. I got a 14.
Jesus.
Well, I rolled a 2, so I got a 1.
FaZe, your character is stalwart in their horror, and they do not lose any stress.
Hell yeah, this is pretty dope.
For Daggy, for Pegwing, and for Time, you each lose 1 stress from your ability score.
Oh, cool.
For Briar, who rolled a 1, essentially. Well, actually, it wasn't a natural one. It wasn't a natural one, so you actually only lose 1 stress as well.
Okay. So now does that mean my stress is a -2 or just still -1?
Yeah, so it's 8 is still a -1 and then a 7 would be a -2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't imagine why I've had trouble picking this up.
All of you except FaZe feel a impending sense of dread. The entranceway that you came in through is no longer there, trapping you guys within this city, this hallway that you have found. It seems like the only way forward is through these other points of interest.
Time that erodes young love puts his hands out and several blasts of energy come from his hands striking against the wall, trying to break through.
The energy from your magic strikes the stone, and small chips of stone break away as your magic assails it, leaving you to believe that this is not an illusion, but actual stone masonry.
I turn on, was it Gorman that brought us out here?
Yes, Gorman and Shaw.
Did one of yours seal us in here as some sort of ensuring that we get the job done? What the hell is this?
I don't know what you're talking about. I've been here with you. It looks like some kind of foul magic.
Well, it's obvious that there's some sort of traps to be had here. Well, of course, the first group is gone, and they had to come with experts like us, so let's check these other rooms.
Doesn't it make it more fun, though? I mean, it'd be boring if we could just walk out.
Definitely not more fun.
Definitely has a challenge to it.
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
It writes young love?
You were close.
What is it?
Time that erodes young love, yes.
You seem upset. Do you want one of me mushrooms?
No, I don't.
All right.
Thank you, though.
I will partake myself.
Roll constitution with advantage.
Bennett would scramble up your leg up to your shoulder and ask for one. Not with words, though.
20 on dirty 20. 17 plus 3.
You definitely succeed. Your constitution is very strong against mushrooms with your skill at eating mushrooms.
I just imagine Daggy Chickers is just microdosing at all times.
Yes.
On a variety of things.
So does Bennett not speak at all?
Bennett has not spoken. Yes.
Okay. That is a safe answer. I like that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Being a large and handsome hero means more than crushing your enemies while defending the common folk. It means having a frank discussion with yourself about erectile dysfunction. I never go into battle without my trusty sword of radiant mercy. So why would I try to treat my ED without the aid of HIMS? I don't have time to leave the dungeon to schedule a doctor's appointment in order to treat my ED, and with HIMS, I don't have to. Through HIMS, you can access affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your camp or a couch. The process is simple and all online. Might as well be magic. They provide access to doctor-trusted ED treatments such as chewable hard mints, brand names like Viagra, or even generic alternatives that are up to 95% cheaper, saving you a lot of gold. Would I have vanquished the arch lich of Scarlet Miasma if I didn't take a potion of major healing? Of course not. Each battle requires its own solution, and that of course includes your sexual health. Join me and hundreds of thousands of trusted HIMS subscribers and start your quest to vanquish your ED today. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/greetings. That's hims.com/greetings for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/greetings. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
And now let's take a quick adventuring break and hear a word from one of our sponsors. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts about being a kid. But as I got older, I wanted to watch out for all the sugar and empty carbs. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but with high protein and less sugar. I couldn't decide which flavor to try out, so I went for the variety pack to get a little taste of everything, including cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. Each pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, and only 140 calories per serving. With Magic Spoon being high protein, keto-friendly, gluten, grain, and soy-free, what's not to love? My favorite was the fruity and peanut butter. It really hits the spot when I need something that's crunchy and delicious, and whenever I deserve a little treat. Go to magicspoon.com/greetings to grab a variety pack and try it today. Also, be sure to use our promo code GREETINGS at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/greetings and use code GREETINGS to get $5 off.
So once again, there is a hallway that leads to what looks like an open room that very much looks like a forested or kind of like an atrium area. There's a hallway that goes in the other direction. There is another doorway, probably similar to the bedroom that you just went into. And then the hallway ends, but you can see it kind of turns off to the right. So there is another way out other than the atrium.
Hey, whoever goes first, you can feel like a big hero.
All right. I look towards you, Daggy, and you, Pegwing. Like,
they're already strolling off.
Good.
Okay, yeah, I'm heading toward the atrium.
Okay.
I follow.
Fred, whenever Michael Daggy goes into the atrium, would FaZe be able to cast heroism on him?
Absolutely.
Okay, that would give you immune to frighten, and then you gain temporary hit points equal to my spell casting ability modifier at the start of each of your turns.
So I think it's your modifier plus proficiency.
Okay.
Because my modifier is 5.
Yeah, so you get 5 hit points.
Thank you.
Daggy, as you walk towards this room that opens up from the hallway, it is lush with flora and a fungi all over the room.
Hell yeah.
Of various colors.
Oh.
On the far end of the room, you can see that there is a doorway that leads in the opposite direction, a continuation of a hallway that you're currently in, but you haven't stepped into the atrium. As you look around, you can see that there are all kinds of mushrooms in this room, some that you recognize and some that you don't. What would you like to do?
Daggy, sort of like, it's like a cartoon where there's like a good smell and the animal creature just floats in on it. That's what Daggy's doing. He's floating in. He's gonna go for the ones he doesn't recognize and try to do like a survival check to see if he can figure out if they have any special properties or anything like that. If you'll allow it.
Okay. Go ahead and roll survival.
That is an 18.
So as you come up to a mushroom that you have never seen before, this mushroom is blue-green, it has red spots on it, and you know it to be a type of mushroom that, when brushed up against, releases spores. Now, you're not sure what the effect of these spores are because you haven't run into this specific genome of mushroom, but there are several other mushrooms nearby as well.
I brush against it.
The spores immediately erupt out of the mushroom and just kind of cover you in a cloud of spores. Roll constitution.
That seems unfair to me. I rolled poorly, Fred. 8 total.
You actually do have advantage, though, so go ahead and roll again.
I wanted Daggy Jokers to be tripping balls.
He could be, but maybe in a bad way.
I'll take the 8.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Well.
So you immediately inhale the spores that are coming out of this mushroom, and there's a faint, sweet smell to it. You don't recognize this mushroom or the smells, and you don't really think much of it. Nothing is affecting you at this time, and you are immediately distracted by a very rare mushroom, the clover mushroom. This clover mushroom is probably a very diamond in the rough type mushroom. It's a four-headed mushroom, and you know that it grants a very lucky boon when eaten. You have one of them, and you know that mechanically, when you do eat this, or if somebody eats this, that their next roll will have advantage. So it is kind of like a lucky mushroom.
Fred, are you lying?
Nope.
Is all that what you just said true?
Yep.
Oh, look at this beauty. Everyone, come here. Forget everything else.
Honestly, Briar runs right over. Briar's good at survival and shit, too, because I actually, like, could I do a roll to see if Briar, like, recognizes what this is?
Go ahead and roll survival. Let's see if Briar has any knowledge on this.
Oh, my God, I can roll it so bad. Yeah. I got an 18, though.
Oh, well, that's actually a pretty good score.
I have a really good survival. I have a 9+9 survival.
Briar, in your experience, you know that mushrooms often either have great effects on you, like some hallucinogenic kind of effects, but there also are a lot of mushrooms that can be very bad. And oftentimes when there are clouds of spores, it's probably best to avoid them, which currently Daggy is just engulfed in a cloud of of red spores that he is inhaling vigorously.
Oh, shit. Briar takes their cloak and kind of like covers their face with it and is like, Daggy, dude, you need to be careful, man. Do you know what that does?
Oh, do I ever. You eat this one, you're going to be lucky for at least 6 seconds.
Well, I'm gonna go
no
over
one eat
here.
That. No one eat that.
No one eat it. I would not.
Pegwing has drawn a massive sword from behind his majestic pegs, and it has ignited it. And I'm just kind of slowly like waving it around to burn off any spore clouds.
Oh, I thought you were high trying to do like.
He has a giant bong.
He's like licks it off the hot sword. Yeah.
So your sword immediately starts to sear and crackle among the spores, and you feel like the sword has burnt off any of the excess spores that have sprouted from this mushroom. At the same time, as your light passes back and forth, you actually see another figure in the room starting to walk towards you.
Daggy sees this, or?
No, Pegwing.
I avast ye there, ye matey. What say you?
Where am I? What is this place? I don't understand what's going on here.
Well, you're probably high. This you're in a room of psychedelic mushrooms.
Ah, yes, that makes sense. I didn't recall the last thing that happened to me. Am I me? Are you me? What? I don't understand.
And you see a dwarven character, a dwarven person, come towards you. He looks very much like a miner. He's wearing leather clothing. He has soot on his face and very disoriented. You know, the hair is kind of frazzled and is not walking towards you threateningly, almost just kind of like meandering about, wandering within this garden. Gorman goes, wait a minute. Is that you? Bella? It's Bella. It's one of our guys. Oh, thank the lords. Think the Allhammer.
Wait. Everything in this place has been trapped. Don't get near that person.
You're right. Bella, are you okay? Who is Bella? I don't know a Bella. I don't know who I am.
This is annihilation to me.
Shit!
At which point, what looks like an appendage, an arm comes striking out from the ground and slaps at Daggy.
Oh, no!
Whoa. What looks like a vine or a tentacle whips towards you, and although you are completely inebriated from everything that you have consumed in the last 2 hours, you're able to almost stumble and dodge out of the way, luckily, and the tentacle just snaps near your face and retracts back into the ground. And you look up, and whether it is the effect of the spores, the mushroom you ate, or the hypothetical hodgepodge potion that FaZe fed you, your eyes are essentially making you see things move. And you're like, whoa, everything's moving. And there are things moving. The ground, the mushrooms, the ferns, the plants are moving in concert, and it looks like there is some kind of creature in front of you. Please roll initiative.
Oh, yay! Ooh. You all seeing this? Fred, I got an 8.
Oh my god, I actually have a positive initiative on this character.
Oh my god.
Maybe the first time. I got an 8, though.
Hey, 8 bros.
Can I get any worse?
I got a 19.
I got a 27.
Oh, shit.
Wow. I rolled a 1 plus 0 is 1.
Nice.
So, Briar, you are first, but prior to you making any action, you see this dwarven character, Beller, start to float up into the air. Oh. And he's like, what's happening?
Oh, no.
Why am I floating in the air? I don't understand what's going on. And you see behind him what looks like a thick vine or tentacle holding him up, and he's being suspended in the air. And as you follow this appendage down, you can see almost like a movement out of all of this overgrowth, and there is something there, some kind of magic or creature. What would you like to do?
Like, I can kind of see it like coming together, like the spot, yeah, where it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. It's moving in concert. Like, there is, it's not individual plants. It's something more.
Okay. So how far away am I from that area where I feel like they're coming from, whatever this is?
I would say like 20 feet. Not very far.
Okay, cool. So in that case, I'm gonna run right up there, and I'm gonna try to attack it.
Yay.
Now, guys, spoiler, I'm a rogue.
Yay!
But this is so I know the sneak attack thing, so I need to have advantage.
No, not you.
Why?
Because you're special.
I'm special?
Yeah, because if you're subclass, and also because you're a rogue.
What?
So you have it always because you're a swashbuckler.
Oh, interesting.
Wait, let me just...
Because you have it if you have a buddy next to you, and you also have it if you don't have a buddy next to you. There might be a middle ground where you never have it, but Tico from Hello...
Got it. Got it. Oh, yeah, you don't need advantage. Okay, cool. Perfect. Wonderful. So yeah, and the other piece that's important for my swashbuckler background is that I have this thing called fancy footwork. And if I make a melee attack against a creature, they can't make an opportunity attack against me for the rest of my turn.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm gonna run up there with my rapier of warning and try to attack. The other thing, just in case it comes up. Since I have my rapier of warning, me nor my companions that are within 30 feet of me can be surprised while I'm using
Okay,
it.
That's good to know.
Except when incapacitated by something other than non-magical sleep.
Or mushrooms.
The weapon magically awakens you and your companions within range if any of you are sleeping naturally when combat begins. Okay. So that is a 19.
That it definitely hits.
Yay. Okay. Man, rogues are freaking cool.
Yeah, rogues rock.
You just add 3d6 on. It's awesome. I'm gonna roll actual dice. 24 damage.
Very nice.
Ooh. So yeah, so Briar sees what's happening, and they just like dash in, like almost like running, like kind of close to the ground. Ooh. Like kind of hunched.
Like a devilman crybaby.
Like a devilman. I am running like a devilman with my head forward. And I just go, the rapier. And then I jump back. I can't do two actions, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But you can jump back with your bonus, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, like a disengage?
Yeah, so she's disengaging.
So 10 feet back, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's all I do for right now.
Okay. Next up is FaZe.
FaZe.
I would like to cast Sanctuary. How far away is Briar?
Probably like 10 feet from you and you're 20 feet from the creature.
Perfect. I would like to cast Sanctuary on Briar, so I am going to ward Briar as long as they are within 30 feet.
Nice.
Until the spell ends, so for the next minute, they will be warded against any creature who targets them with an attack or a harmful spell. That creature must first make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, the creature must choose a new target or lose the attacker spell.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
It doesn't affect or doesn't protect Briar from area effects such as explosions of like fireball. But if the warded creature makes... Oh, shit. Oh, okay. No, this is good still. If the warded creature makes an attack, casts a spell that affects an enemy or deals any damage to another creature, that spell ends. So basically, she's there protected until...
I'm good until I do something.
Yeah.
The next... Yeah.
That's
which
cool.
is fine. Yeah.
All
so
right.
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. That's a bonus action.
Whoa.
I guess I still have like a regular action.
So do I like, is this warding? I almost imagine it as like Briar has like little like boom. Like she, little glowing thing.
She has Dune armor.
I got Dune armor on. Kim and I watched Dune yesterday.
Oh, what if it like Dune armor, but it looks like a little like mushroom kind of like camouflage almost or something. So it's like warded.
It's like, cause it's glowy. It's like a glowing thing that I like.
Yeah.
It's saying wildly different things and I love it.
I'm into it.
I feel like, you know, that's like, I don't know, we'll fit. The gills of the mushroom are the tubes that go into Briar's nose and mouth.
It's like to make them think you're a mushroom so they don't attack you.
Yes. Yeah.
Fred, how far away am I from the beastie?
Oh, you're like 5 feet away from this thing. You're very close.
Okay.
And then I think I am going to cast Aid on, who are the three that are closest to the creature, not including myself?
Daggy, Briar, and one other person.
Pegwing walked up too.
Oh, then Pegwing, yeah.
I'll do time because Pegwing got the other bonus last time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm probably like standing right next to you.
So then you guys will have three creatures. Your hit point maximum increases your current hit points increase by 5 for the next 8 hours.
Okay.
Dope.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And that's my turn.
Sorry, say that again.
So Daggy gets an additional 5 hit points.
10 hit points?
Real hit points, right?
Yeah.
Like my max goes up?
Yeah. It's fucked up.
For the next 8 hours.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's fucked up, man.
It's a long time.
I don't know.
It's a long time down here in the cave.
That's like magical temp HP, which is funny, because also temp HP is magical, because it's D&D. Wow.
Yeah, you know, like, feel free to go wild, y'all, but just... I don't know. Don't feel bad in 8 hours. Make sure you feel okay, or else you're going to feel worse at the end of this.
Thank you. I appreciate this. Mm-hmm.
So at this point, the creature that you're fighting starts to whip out tentacles that will try to strike at Daggy, at Briar, and at Pegwing.
So is this starting its turn?
That is correct.
All right, I use reaction.
Okay.
Michael's playing D&D.
I do Halo of Spores.
What?
Whoa.
Spores is so topical.
I use my reaction to deal 1d4 necrotic damage to one creature. You can see when it moves into a space within 10 feet of you or starts its turn there. If it fails, a con save throw. Decent point.
Wow. Fail. Fred, you're my enemy now.
12. So it fails.
1d4.
Uh-oh, is it dead?
That's 4.
Nice roll, Michael. That's your first ever roll.
Does it do anything else?
No.
Okay.
My spores come that are floating around me all seem to come to life and attack this creature.
Ew.
Nice. So you're controlling the spores that were around you and it is attacking.
Yeah.
There's like two types of battling spores. It's like the Star Wars.
Spore on spore.
Spore on spore.
So, Daggy, that is going to be 19 versus your armor class.
Well, that's gonna hit.
So you're going to take 8 points of damage, and you need to roll a constitution saving throw again.
There's my temps. 21.
That is a success. And then Pegwing, that is going to be, that is a 20 versus your armor class.
That hurts me.
Yes. You're going to take 9 points of damage, and also you will need to roll a constitution saving throw.
Can do. Oof.
That's what you want to hear.
What does it mean when you get a one?
Oof. That is an automatic fail.
Yeah.
That's an oof.
So you instantly start to feel sick as some kind of poison effect takes over your body. You will also take an additional 12 points of damage unless you have some form of poison resistance or immunity. So you will take a total of 21 points of damage.
That's all. I feel like that's a lot. Is that a lot?
That's a lot.
We're
level 5, so
yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be... Have we said what level we are yet?
I don't think we did.
Hello.
We're level 5.
Briar, you are the only other close one.
Oh.
And that is going to be a 14 versus your armor class.
Hold, please. Because you tried to attack Briar, who is warded under Sanctuary. So.
Yeah.
You're like the UN.
You have to make a wisdom.
You, Fred.
Fred, you fucked it.
I have to make a wisdom saving throw.
6.
I think that fails. I feel pretty accurate or pretty confident.
This creature is not wise.
Does that mean I can't attack?
So you have to redirect it or lose the attacker spell. I don't know how you choose.
So I'll say we lose the attack because it probably sees it as another fungi, right? Like this sanctuary spell that gave her the dune mushroom armor. Now it's like, oh, you're one of me. You're good.
We're good. We're cool.
At this point, you also notice that it was literally utilizing the tentacle that had Beller, the dwarf, was being flung towards you, and then it stopped before it struck you because it realized that you were one of its own.
I'm a mushroom.
And at that point, as you see the creature start to move, you notice that this thing is quite large. It's probably somewhere between 5 to 10 feet in diameter. There are these large bulbous flower heads on top of its body.
Ew.
Numerous tentacles holding what look like emaciated or desiccated corpses. And then amongst the writhing flora are like skulls and corpse parts. And it looks like it's trying to feed on you.
Oh.
And it is now time that erodes young love.
Time that erodes young love. He walks into the spores, not because he needs to get closer, just because he can and it won't affect him.
Wow.
He rolls some of his robes up a little bit, cracks his neck.
Oh my god, you
that was real!
You lied! Wow!
Puts his hand out and he casts Eldritch Blast!
Oh, baby!
Baby.
We love it!
I'm gonna use D&D Beyond unless it rolls bad. Well, I guess I have to take it. Oh, it looks bad! Oh, it looks bad! I think I got a 13.
13 actually hits.
Okay, never mind. It's good. Okay. Okay, so it takes 2d10 damage. Ooh, 20 max damage.
Wow.
Wow.
He has these like interesting bracers around his arms. You can't see his skin still because he has like a long shirt underneath it, but it looks like he kind of, when they glow brighter, his frame sort of like shrinks down a little bit. And then he casts Eldritch Blast again.
Whoa.
I'm gonna use D&D Beyond. Never steered me wrong.
Oh.
Okay, this one was an 8, so more than 13, so that's another 2d10.
Boom. Oh man, look at this boy, that's another 10.
So that's 13 damage as 4 blasts come out, and I imagine they kind of shoot around, sort of Dune-like, but also more like, I would call it like an anime mech style.
Like where it's like
the missiles that come out, so he kind of does that. And they're kind of like, they streak red, and the red sort of like keeps a chemtrail behind it. And then I believe it is pushed back. Let me see if you have to. Yes. So I just do it. So this creature is pushed back 10 feet away. So it's actually 20, because I hit him twice. So I push them 20 feet back.
Okay.
And is it just this one big creature?
Yes, it is just one large creature.
Ooh. All
right, I'm done. Thank you. And then I move back just because I don't breathe, by the way.
I don't breathe,
so.
Pegwing.
Pegwing. So where's everybody's position then? So like...
Daggy, Briar, and you are... It's kind of in the same line and phase and time is behind you. And now the creature is about 25 to 30 feet in front of you.
Yeah, Briar's in mushroom mode. Chilling.
Okay. Pegwing would swoop straight up in front of the monster. Is going to do an attack, but it's going to use a maneuver. Pegwing's a fighter. Did I ever mention this?
I don't think so.
I'm going to use a maneuver distracting strike, so I can use one of my superiority dice and attack and add to the damage roll if I hit. So let me try to do that. My sword is still ignited from before the fight. That's 18 to hit.
That hits.
Woo-hoo. Okay. I need to roll the superiority dice, which is a d8, I believe. Bet y'all didn't expect me to actually know what to do.
Take that.
No, I trust you.
So then it's my actual attack rolls, 2d6. So that's 8 plus 4, 12, plus the 3 for my superiority dice is 15. Plus my Flame Tongue Greatsword is ignited, so Ooh. It deals an extra 2d6 damage.
Oh, that's right.
It's thirsty.
Nice.
That's going to be another 8 damage. I can attack again, I believe. That's a fighter thing, extra attack. 15 plus 7, 22 to hit.
That hits.
So that is it's 11 for the main attack, and another 10, so that's 21 for that second attack.
Okay.
With that maneuver that I did, the next, before my next turn, the next one of you to make an attack against the creature gets advantage.
Woo! Nice.
As long as it's before my next turn.
Hell yeah.
Enter Chukas.
Daggy looks slightly confused because he thought this monster was in front of him. Then he realizes now it's far away. He was like getting his quarterstaff ready to bop it, but instead he reaches out his hand and a spectral hand forms
Ooh.
By the yeah. creature and does a chill touch.
With advantage.
With advantage.
Because of Penguin's distracting strength.
Well, first one's a 19.
Oof.
So that would be a 25, and I don't get a 20, so 25.
Hit. 25 hits.
So 10 damage.
How does your chill touch destroy this creature?
Whoa, yeah. Michael!
Yeah.
Good job, Michael. You did it.
You killed it.
And that's the end of Leviathan. That was the Leviathan.
We did it!
So it reaches out and it freezes, and the little bodies that are all attached to it all sort of crinkle up, and it just falls apart into a big heap.
Damn.
And that is where we're gonna call it.
Oh no!
Woo. 5 more hours.
So 5 more hours of podcast.
Woo. I don't like my level 5 doing more damage than my level 20.
Fighters kind of rule.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think you and Jennifer are going to do almost as much damage as yeah. we did on average. And then, thank God, Jennifer was the weird frickin'
ranger. Yeah.
Mm.
This is sometimes those things can get, it's like, oh, just casual 200 damage.
I mean, honestly, thank God I don't remember how to do shit. That's really what it is.
Yeah. I always called... rogues like rail cannons whenever
they are, it's like
they cannot miss.
Mm-hmm.
and they hit, it's like, wait, I only get one attack, who cares? Like, well, you're not gonna miss
and you're gonna do a good job.
Yeah, you're gonna do a billion damage as long as you don't roll your damage die back.
Right.
I'm glad we each got to do a combat round.
And
yeah,
so if everyone knows what our classes are, there's some fun subclass questions. Yes. Out there. And
I still have secrets.
Yeah, I haven't said my race yet.
Yeah, I've got a special attack that I can't wait to show off.
Ooh. I'm gonna frick. And the thing too is, Michael has his fancy D&D Beyond, so I can't even go rub my snoot in to try to figure out what it is.
That's true. That's true.
It doesn't shake.
You know what we should do now?
Yeah. What should we do now?
Dice time.
Giveaway.
We should give away some dice.
What? Ooh. Oh my god.
You have a few more moments to enter in chat, and if you're not listening live, you would have to be live in order to win the Die Hard Dice. But luckily for you, you can head on over to dieharddice.com, enter the offer code greetings with an exclamation mark at the end, and then you can get 15% off of your order. That's a guaranteed thing, and we get some. We get a little kickback from that, so that's a hashtag ad. Also, they're running some holiday specials, and they just released some rad new dice and things like that. So definitely head on over to dieharddice.com, rub your little faces in their spores, and get them up. Yum! Kate Voss Normandy, congratulations!
Yeah. Congratulations!
Congrats!
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter or at Geekly Inc. or at D&D Podcast. We're on Instagram at Greetings Adventurers. And you can find me at Thriftiner.
You can find me at Tim Lanning.
You can find me at Jennifer Cheek.
I am at Nika _ Howard.
I am at the Mike Bachman.
And you can find me at that gape dude. Just kidding. And I think I'm Fred.
You do really well in the gape zone, by the way. Let me just be a Josh B for a second. You can make so much money.
Oh, so much.
Follow me on my gape fans.
Especially if you post frequently.
Yeah.
Until next week, keep it dicey.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.